Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a somber Highbury Squad pod. We all know why, that we're all going to be pretty down. We're going to try and have a little bit of a laugh. I say that, trying to be positive. But tonight, today, this morning, whenever you're listening, I have my podcast brother, Kevin Campbell. Hello, Kev.
Hi, Amanda. How are you, darling?
Devastated. I'm just going to put it in one word. And how are you?
I was hurt last night. I've got to admit, I was hurt bad. But do you know what? It's a new day. It's Dicky Bowl Thursday today. So I am fine. I'm telling you,
is that
fine.
All it does for you? To cheer you up wearing a Dicky Bowl?
Dicky Bowl Thursday means a lot more than just a result.
Okay.
Dicky Bowl Thursday is a mindset.
I love your Dicky Bowl Thursday.
And what do you know what today is the first day of moving forward, and we're actually gonna listen, we're gonna cover it in the pod, so I don't wanna say too much.
We are. So let me move on to my fabulous, wonderful podcast sister in La La Land, Ms. Sophie.
Hi.
Do you remember
that episode of Friends when Joey first met Ross, and Ross walks in and he always used to say like, hi, and Joey's like, this guy says hi and I want to kill myself. That's how you feel.
I think that's billions of gooners on this planet. I just can't really get over it. I can't. I'm just a thingy. But I just want to talk about something. We'll lead into it, obviously. There's going to be rules on this pod. We weren't going to do a pod, listeners. But when Kevin and Sophie started going at each other on WhatsApp, I thought, right, I'm going to do a podcast tonight. Because we all know how we feel. We all agreed to a certain degree of what actually happens, why it happens, and what's going on. But we're just going to put our thoughts down. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's not going to be one of our best happy pods. But I just want to mention something that, you know, 4 days ago, it was the anniversary of Anfield 89. I didn't cover it in the last pod. And I was thinking back to this morning when I was walking to work, literally depressed as fuck, basically, thinking to myself, this lot in Baku to that lot at Anfield that night, where no one gave us a chance 30 odd years ago. And the fact that we had a manager like George Graham, and a captain like Tony Adams. What we would have given to have Tony Adams on that pitch last night, none of this rubbish that we're watching defending would have happened. So I want to say 30 years ago was one of the best footballing nights of my life. Most people who listen to this pod know that. And then we jump forward 30 years to what we watched in Baku. So I'm actually not sure where to start, but I feel let down, disappointed. I feel everything that we all feel, but I want to just go into, let's start at the beginning with his team selection. I am disappointed that Mkhitaryan couldn't have been on the bench. We've covered that in the last pod as well. We're all devastated and all pissed off that went on. It looked interesting in Baku. I have got friends over there that were sending me pictures. It looks a beautiful place, just not for a football final. He couldn't go, so slightly limited on his options, old Emery. And then the team comes out. So, Kev, in a very short space, because we're going to cover everything, what was your first reactions when you saw the team?
That was the best team he could have picked.
That's what that I was thought. It. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the best team he could have picked, considering the personnel that was there. I thought it was the right choice, and playing three at the back have seen us through quite a bit in the Europa League. So I thought, hey, let's go.
And Soph, the same thing. Were you happy with who he picked?
I totally agree with you guys. I don't think he could have picked a better team. In hindsight, only because of the last 20 minutes, Iwobi for Ozil may have given us a completely different complexion as a team, especially when Chelsea started gaining momentum on the flanks in the last 20 minutes of the first half and then the way they dominated the second half. So, yeah, you can't fault him for the team he picked. He picked the best team. Only thing I would have done is started Leno in goal, not Cech, even though Cech made a couple of wonderful saves, to be fair to him.
Okay, let's discuss Cech. For me, and I don't know what anyone else was watching, I thought he was virtually man of the match, if I'm honest. I know he let in four goals, but most of them weren't his fault anyway. He saved us. It could have been 7 or 8. Kev, do you agree with Soph? Should Leno have played?
Well, listen, I would have played Leno to start. Not any disrespect to Petr Cech or thinking, you know, because of the announcement or anything like that. I just would have played that he's the better keeper right now. That's all. But I think Petr Cech was outstanding. Arsenal's best player last night, for sure. Just, I agree with you on that one. And he did produce some fantastic saves. He kept the score down.
Yeah.
If we're really honest. And, you know, because there weren't much defence in front of him throughout the game, especially the second half. So they were taking pot shots.
So
still couldn't save a penalty, could he? Still couldn't save a penalty. His record for penalties. Okay, look, I complimented him, did I not? I think that if it wasn't for him, we probably would have lost 6-1. He had no protection.
No.
The dude was under siege in the second half. Made some great saves in the first half. I'm not saying Leno's better at saving penalties because I don't think he's proven that in that area either. And that's not the reason why we lost the game. We'll get more into that. But yeah, I think, you know, Cech looked as bitterly disappointed in it as anyone by the end of it. And I don't think any of us questioned his professionalism. Just maybe Emery could have made a real stance there as Arsenal manager by picking his best keeper with no sentiments. I wanted to see him be a bit more ruthless. And he wasn't. But in the end, it didn't come back to bite us in the arse, did it? If we're being fair.
No. To me, Cech wasn't the problem last night. Let's just go through the team. And I agree with what Kev said. That was the only team he could pick, really. Iwobi possibly, but when it comes down to it, in the first half, I felt that we had the run of it. I felt for 30, 35 minutes, I wasn't worried at all. And I'd like to mention, actually, that I went to the Rocket in Holloway Road that was arranged by Red Action, and it was absolutely fantastic. What they only did, Red Action, to sort this out was brilliant. The atmosphere was phenomenal. And I really wish that every pub, the players could have seen what it was like, because we are so passionate. Wherever you were in the country, I mean, Kev, you were in O'Shea's, weren't you? That looked brilliant as well. So if you're in La La Land, but you know what I'm saying? Around the world, the passion for this game.
Gooners were everywhere.
Everywhere.
Pubs were packed here. Pubs were heaving here. It was insane. Yeah.
Yeah, I was driving up to the Emirates because I parked right outside and pubs were heaving. It was fantastic. The atmosphere was brilliant. I just wanted to mention that. Sorry. So well done to Red Action for that. But my point is this. We didn't take our chances. We didn't have many clear cut, but we didn't take our chances. Now, let's just talk about the penalty on Lacazette. Soph, did you think it was?
You know, at first I didn't. I thought it was 50-50. But then when I saw the replay, I thought he clipped him. And I think the biggest beef Arsenal, and I don't think Arsenal fans are making any excuses that that's the reason why we lost, but momentum is everything. And there were two moments, and you mentioned both. The first one was Aubameyang had a golden opportunity in the first, was it 8 minutes? And to me, the way Kepa was positioned away from his line on the goal line, I thought Aubameyang had an amazing opportunity to put us 1-0 up. And,
yeah.
he scuffed it so wide.
Yeah.
And then my biggest thing, guys, is how did that not go to VAR just to review it? How did that not happen. In the City Tottenham game, we saw them go to VAR how many times? I was so shocked that it didn't even get into consideration.
Why didn't it?
Maybe
though,
you guys
Soph?
Can.
But why?
I don't know, guys. Why?
I said the same thing, Sophie, to be
but
honest.
But why didn't our players surround the ref? So why didn't it go? Why he
could... We're not bullies.
No, we're not.
Exactly, Amanda.
Okay.
Brilliant point. Other teams would have surrounded the ref and would have hounded him. And he would have said, okay, let's check it. These things happen in football. I was so blown away by that. And at that point, my heart sank and I was like, oi,
but even having said that, it still should, if there's an infringement, it still should go. The referee should get a call about the incident.
I know. We've
seen it happen before.
Yeah, but really weirdly, though, is that it wasn't clear cut. So it should have gone to VAR. You see, the thing is, where I was, everyone was going ballistic saying it was a penalty. Yeah. Well, you know that I'm very friendly with the ref. And I always go to him on penalties. And of course, it is all opinions. We know that. Everyone's opinion doesn't mean it's right or wrong. He straight away said to me, please tell me you've laughed at that for diving. And I said, no, I actually don't think it was a dive. I think he might have made a meal of it, but I don't think it was a dive as such. I did think he was touched. But it played on like there wasn't any controversy surrounding it. Like, it definitely wasn't, and we don't need to go to VAR. Can you imagine, Kev, Wrighty on the pitch or you on the pitch and you had VAR? I mean, why isn't Lacazette on the referee? I didn't get that, actually. And then there was the shirt pulling. Now, that was a separate incident, wasn't there?
Yeah, but we're talking about... here's the truth of the matter. Lacazette did get clipped.
Mm.
And did he make a bit of it? Sometimes, that's what he done. He made a little bit of a meal of it. But if you saw what the referee did, I think the referee got something in his head and he done that with his hands across as if it's nothing... You know, there's no penalty there when really it should have went to VAR and he had a really good look at it. But the point I'm going to make about Arsenal Football Club right now is the players are too nice.
Yes.
They are too nice. I'm telling
100%.
You now. I am telling you now, if my grandmother was on that pitch against me, she will get kicked. I'm telling you. And that is the mentality that we had back in the day. We don't care who you are, whether you're friends or foes. We are going to beat you. And that's the mentality that the team don't have. They don't have it. And it's sad to see. And it hurts me to see it because I know what it takes. And that's why I was so hurt.
Yeah. Wow. It's a brilliant point. We're a very soft team. And by the way, just to circle back to wrap the Lacazette thing, if he did, that should have been a yellow card then on Lacazette. This is what pisses me off on both sides. Okay. So you're saying it's not a penalty. You're not going to go to VAR. So give him a yellow card then if you think he's had a dive.
So it must be a dive. Yeah.
So it must be a dive. Right. And we are so soft. And just hearing Xhaka's comments after. Look, I know Xhaka took the players to the fans when they were just going to walk off the pitch and stuff like that. But, you know, when Sam Matterface from TalkSport asked him, what do you think about all the fans that traveled so far? And he's like, it's not just about the fans. I almost wanted to punch my computer screen. I couldn't believe he selfishly said, it's not just about them, it's about us as well. Well, then maybe you should have shown a little bit what Super Kev is telling you, mate. Some balls on the pitch.
All right, hold on. Let's back up because we need to talk about that as well after because there's a few other things. But so we had a few decisions. It was 30 minutes in. I was quite comfortable. My prediction was Chelsea would score first and we'd get two. I was so convinced we were going to win. I didn't meet one Arsenal fan and generally tweeted or Facebooked or Instagram with one Arsenal fan that thought we were going to lose, which was unusual. And we all predicted a win. What went
Amanda.
Wrong? I mean, Kev.
Amanda.
Gum.
Can I just help you with one thing? Could you remember, I think it was either Xhaka or Ozil. I think it was Xhaka played a ball into Kolasinac in behind the Chelsea back four.
Yeah.
Now, this just goes to show the ineptness of Kolasinac when he gets into good positions.
I agree.
Because that ball was perfect. All he needed to do was put the ball across the 6-yard line.
Yep, exactly.
First time. If you take a touch, the space is going to be closed down.
Yep.
So if you'd have just rolled it across there, Chelsea defenders wouldn't have been able to touch it because they probably would have scored an own goal. And I believe we would have took the lead.
Couldn't agree more,
and I'm
Kev.
Not saying, yep. And I'm not saying that is that would have changed the result. But it's moments like that in the big games where the opposition get frightened. And if Arsenal take the lead there, Arsenal were pulling them around at that time.
Yeah.
Chelsea couldn't get to grips with Arsenal's system. Yeah. So I just wanted to make that point. Sorry, love.
No, it's fine, because I was going to bring up Kolasinac, because how many times did he get in good positions, Kev? That one you're just talking about goes through my mind all the time, because I could have even crossed it better than him. And I don't get what he was even thinking. You're right. Touch too much, straight to a Chelsea defender, and it was kicked away. And in that position, you want one of your best players. He's not one of your best players. So
keep it simple. Like,
I know,
all he had to do was keep it simple. He was shocking yesterday.
I also felt, okay, and I mean, look, we're here to talk honest and stuff. I felt Lacazette and Aubameyang weren't very good, but they didn't have much service. So now this comes to what's happened to Torreira, because I didn't rate him last night. Everyone knows on this planet how I feel about Ozil, but God, he didn't even turn up. And then we've got Monreal, who I thought had a shocker. Maitland-Niles was very decent in the first half, sort of faded away in second half. Socrates, every minute, I think he's going to get sent off because he just loses it. He's obviously got that lovely Greek temperament, Sophie, that you know a lot about. And we've got Captain Koscielny. He's not a captain, is he? He's not what we want as a captain. And I just felt that those six games that we could have even just won one of to get in the Champions League was just one of those last night. How the hell we played so well against Valencia, and Aubameyang was on fire and everybody was amazing. I just so fucking disappointed that I tweeted today, we can lose games. Kev, you lost games. You've played in games you didn't deserve to lose.
Yeah.
You've won in games you don't deserve to win. It's football. We deal with it. If we'd have lost last night to a 1-0, but we played great and we were just unlucky, we'd have been gutted. We'd have said we deserved it, but it's football. To go out in a final and play like that is appalling. And I would like to say something else, and I'll let you speak about Emery. I don't get the vitriol towards Emery. I just don't. He does not go on that pitch to lose. No way on earth. To be fair, someone quoted this, and it is quite funny. He did more work on the touchline than Ozil did on the pitch. And I mean, you know how much I love Ozil anyway. But I just feel that this has got to stop towards Emery. He's not even been here long enough to even judge him. Now we judge him. Let me give him a season. Let him get his summer transfers out of the way. He's even said players are going to have to leave, right? He said that today or last night. So, Soph, I know you was quite adamant about this last night because you were literally livid that everyone was going for Emery. Why do you think they're doing this?
You know, I was critical of Emery at certain points during this season, and I think we all agree that he's made some mistakes. I think the Everton game was a mistake. I think he made some mistakes in the Crystal Palace game. But just like when a new CEO takes over a large corporation, right, they go into that job and they inherit a team. And they inherit a team that isn't necessarily their people, their squad. I've been headhunted for jobs. You guys have. They want to build their own team. They bring people in that they may have worked with before, or they bring in fresh blood. And I would say arguing with a lot of Arsenal key informers on Twitter last night because they were all blaming Emery. So, and Kev's a player, and I'd love to hear it from his perspective too. What changed so drastically the way we played in that first 30 minutes of the first half to then completely capitulating and switching off. And don't tell me that Emery is responsible for that. He set them up to win. He picked the best team. Were we a bit narrow? Yes. Did we drive a little bit too much through the middle? Potentially, yes. But you can't tell me that we had all these chances and we played the way we did, you guys, and then we fall off the way we did. And then you see someone like Iwobi and Willock come on, who played their hearts out for 20 minutes. Those guys were motivated. How do they lose so much focus, Kev? How do they lose their ground as much as they did? Chelsea responded to their manager. Our players did not respond to the adversity. We're mentally impotent. We can't deal with it. We collapse. That's the culture of our club now. It is the culture of who we've become. We kind of went from the invincibles to the shrinkables. That's who we've become. That's what I think happened. I don't think you can blame Emery for it.
Kev?
Yes, my dear. I'm here.
Go on. Do you blame Emery or not?
No, I don't blame Emery. Listen, Emery's going to take some of the blame no matter what because he's the coach. But if you, I'm going to talk you through the game right now. So for half an hour, we are the better team. Oh, yes, we are. We're in the ascendancy. And then in the last 15 minutes, Chelsea start to get a foothold in the game. There's a couple of shots at Petacek, and Giroud has one right on the edge of the box where he tries to put it in the bottom corner, and Petacek makes a great save. Now, that was them starting to work out how to get past the Arsenal defence, okay? So we go in at half-time, and we come out second half, and what Chelsea start to do, Chelsea adjust and say, what we're going to do, we're going to play through the lines quicker. And we're going to get the ball to Hazard. And when Hazard gets it and he turns and starts running at our back three, all the other players who are up there within the Pedros and even Giroud, we're going to peel off. So it's going to isolate defenders. And that's what Chelsea done very well. And that's where the first goal came from. That's where the second goal came from. That's where the third goal came from, or the penalty. And that's where the fourth goal came from. If you watch where Chelsea play, they were getting the ball and they were driving at us and players were peeling off the back three and we couldn't deal with it. That is the issue. The issue is they're coming straight through the middle of the pitch. We haven't got much legs in there. We can't just rely on Torreira in there, although he didn't have a great game. But you need two guys in there who are going to dig in, and you need your number 10 to dig in to do a lot of dirty work. But we're not prepared to do it. This is, again, we're too nice. We're too nice a team. When we have it, we play. When you have it, you play. That is not football. And if you're going to play at the highest level, you see the way Man City play. You see the way Liverpool play. When they haven't got the ball, they are frenzied in trying to win it back. When we've got the ball, it's easy, Ozzy. And when we haven't got the ball, maybe we'll go, maybe we won't. And against the better teams, we'll come unstuck. And that's what happened. The likes of Hazard couldn't believe his luck last night. You know, he had that much room. It was scary.
Yeah, but Kev, he didn't have that much room in the first 30 minutes. And I thought if we could just take Hazard out, they don't have much else. But yet we didn't.
Yeah, Amanda, again, he was getting on the ball, but he was being closed down. But what they realized was they have to play through the lines quicker. And when they adjusted to that, especially in the second half, we couldn't deal with it because it was more work on that central midfield.
Yep, there's the problem.
We are terrible without the ball. We are absolutely one of the worst teams in that top six without the ball. We don't know. And maybe that's where you can criticize Emery a little bit. Does he do enough of that? But I think this goes back to what we've said on the pod throughout the season, you guys. We just don't have the players who can execute it. And people want to moan about Sarri and stuff and Sarri ball, but he kept his convictions and eventually his team did respond to him. They qualified for the Champions League by finishing third and they also won Europa League. His players adapted. He was insistent. This is how we are going to play football as a team. We don't have that quality. They can't do it. They're not good enough.
But listen, Sophie, let me just say this. When we played Chelsea at their place, we should have beat them. When we played Chelsea at our place, we whooped them. Okay? And we pressed them high. Okay? So the players can do it. The players can do it. And they can, and they could win. But the issue is when the real pressure's on, can they produce? And they've proven that they cannot do it when the real pressure's on.
So it's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, we can just go on and on about what the match brought last night, what we thought went on, what should have gone on and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, Kev, those players, most of them are not good enough. They're just not good enough. And it's been proven the last few months as well. We need to.
Yeah, it's that simple.
It is really, isn't it? I mean, look, I'm not a football coach, but I think.
Hey, it's Amanda, you don't need to be.
You don't. We really, really don't need to be.
You could see, you have the eye test. The eye test tells you that we aren't good enough.
I think one of the things that I get really upset about, because I'm in your era, Kev, I come from the George Graham days of the defensive and mental frailties of what we're going through now. There's no real quality in our defence. There's not any leaders, you know, and not players for some reason are not prepared to defend and track back. So where's the cover for a defence that's not great anyway? Obviously, look, we are missing Bellerin. And Holding was doing really well and unfortunately got really injured. One of the key players for me last night missing was Ramsey. I think it would have been a totally different game if Ramsey would have been there. But look, we can just go on about it. We lost. In the end, we deserved to lose. We didn't deserve a thing out of it. But this now stems from where do we go from here? You know, we've got owners at our club that the owner and the son couldn't even be bothered to turn up for a flipping UEFA final.
Now, the son no,
I think
the
his son was there.
I don't think he was there.
Was there.
Okay, the son was
yeah.
there. But
yeah, the son was
it,
there.
Was
yeah.
it too much for the multi-billionaire to get a private jet over to Baku and watch his team? I don't care what he's doing. I'm really sorry, but you got to support. I feel like this club is in limbo. Do you know what I feel like? I feel like we're in a horror movie with an owner that is just locked it because he just won't sell, will he? We need someone to just convince him to go. It's not the money. It's not the billionaire Arabs that, or billionaire, whoever it is coming in. I just don't want him now because he just doesn't want to invest. You know, it's not Emery's fault that unfortunately he has inherited this mess. We are allowed to criticize Emery. We all wanted Wenger to go at some different stages in the last 3, 4, 5 years, but to have an owner that's not there, I'm really, really sorry. But on a let's try and go a little bit positive, okay? Now, I was so disgusted.
Wait, on the ownership side, can I just jump in for 30 seconds? Everyone wants to absolutely rip Chelsea to shreds for their revolving managerial door. But what have they done? And Mourinho set the tone when Abramovich hired him. No matter who has come in as manager, it's zero tolerance. It is, they have built a winning culture. We used to have that with Wenger in the early years and George Graham, from 89 onwards. We had that. We don't have that anymore. And it's amazing, amazing that Sarri wins his first ever trophy against us. That is the thing. In their worst season, supposedly, look what they achieved, because it is unacceptable to not win. And somehow they found a way to win. And that's a really big problem for Emery to overcome, to rebuild a culture of a club, let alone get players playing. I think that's a huge problem for us.
Sophie?
Yes, my love.
What has to happen is this. The manager has to get his old players. Because, see, now he's found out about these players. We've been in the wilderness a long time. And whether we like it or not, we could talk about past regimes, etc. The players that have been at Arsenal haven't been mentally strong enough. They haven't had the conviction to go on and challenge, make a challenge for the Premier League. Yeah, in the cups now and again, we could produce and we could win, which was fantastic. But all that does is paper the cracks. We have been in the wilderness for a long time. And now Unai Emery is peeling back the layers. And now we're starting to see the real Arsenal. Okay. And it isn't pretty.
No.
It is not pretty at all.
What might be a little bit pretty is the youngsters coming through. Now, I've not seen Joe Willock come on because I was so disgusted I left at 80 minutes. I'd had enough. But apparently, I went out. Quite a few of us left. Apparently, he played well. So what's your view on Willock last night?
Yeah, look, for 10 minutes is fine. Coming on for 10 minutes or 15 minutes and showing yourself, showing some hunger, obviously that's welcome. But this is a lot more than coming on for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, Amanda. We are talking about setting a standard at Arsenal Football Club back to where it was at the height.
I get that.
To be the best.
I get that.
To be the best. But it's not about, is Willock the answer? We don't know unless you give him the opportunity. But this is what Unai Emery's paid for.
Yeah, but Kev, what I'm saying is he's not going to be given millions and millions and millions, is he? So we've got.
I've just said that, Amanda.
Yeah, but
it's up to the manager to give these kids a chance.
And so we've got Willock, Saka.
And you know what he did do? You know what he did
do? Hold on one sec.
You
know so let me just read the list out of kids we've got that I think could possibly progress with us. We've got Willock, Saka, Smith Rowe. We've got Amici. We've got Nketiah and Nelson. We need to start giving these kids a chance. Go on, Soph.
You know what Willock did do when he came on? He absolutely embarrassed and humiliated Ozil as if he wasn't embarrassed or humiliated with his performance anyway. Right. What he did was show so much in that time that Ozil didn't show in the entire game and the entire season. In fact, I saw a ridiculous stat that apparently Alexis Sanchez, who's been diabolical, with more assists this year than Ozil. Think about the kids we've let go to Germany as well, prematurely. Look at what Sergio won at Bayern Munich, that did the double this year. We have also let youth go without giving them a shot or a chance. Now, I mentioned something on Twitter the other day about going the Fergie route, mix the youth with experience. But you've got to have the right experience around them because otherwise you'll set them up to fail. And that will be even worse than I think what we're seeing right now. So unless he has a plan, is Willock ready to play week in, week out in the Premier League? I don't know. We don't know that yet. But should they be giving a shot based on what we've seen? Absolutely. And I'll tell you something, a player I've ripped to shreds for a long time is Iwobi. And we talk a lot about how Pep has helped Sterling come along. You know, when players are open to coaching and they're open to being a sponge to learn, Iwobi has really taken on a lot of Emery's coaching this season, and we've seen it. And I put my hands up and say, you know what? He came on, he scored a wonder goal. That goal was beautiful. What a moment for him, but it was a moot point and it was at a point in the game that was already lost. But talk about come on and show some passion and fight. You know, and I give him credit for that. And some hunger. Absolutely,
some hunger.
Kev. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in games like that, you've got, look, there's no tomorrow in games like that. So you've got to leave it all out on the pitch. I've got to say, I was disappointed in the way Mesut Ozil went off the pitch.
Mm.
I've got to be honest with you. And, you know,
that was disgusting.
You know, and I know, look, there's Ozil lovers and Ozil haters and all that, but not everybody could see.
Yeah.
For me, I look at Eden Hazard and I look at Mesut Ozil. He's their creator. Ozil's our creator. What did Ozil do to what Hazard done? And it's chalk and cheese. You can't even compare the two. So Mesut Ozil is a luxury we can't afford to have.
Well, that's where now we move on to the summer, and we think that hopefully he does shift things around. And I think he has to go, Ozil. And, you know, it pains me to say, you know, what I feel about him. I just think there's a little bit of clash there going on. I don't know why. I don't know what goes on down there. But I'm trying
He's lazy, Amanda. He's our marketing machine. He's nothing but a marketing machine for the Arsenal. That's all he is.
Okay, well, 300 grand a week's a lot for a marketing machine, isn't it? You know, and was there... has there been an email that's gone round that's been leaked from the two guys, Raul and Vinny, or something? Something about the there was an email that was
about
leaked.
About sticking together.
Yeah, about this is a small setback and we should stick together and it's not a big thing. Maybe they've got a plan for the summer. This is why I feel if the Champions League final wasn't looming, I would be still devastated today, but I'd be over this in a few days' time. The fact that that's going to be looming in the next 48 hours is not helping our mood. I know that. But I let's just try and see some positivity going into next season. Maybe Emery's eyes have been open. Maybe he knows what he needs to do. I think he's only got 1 year left in his contract. If I'm honest, I don't see him being here after that. I don't know what's going on with our club. I'm really upset. Actually, I feel quite heartbroken, if I'm honest, that what's going on. And I do 1,000,000% blame Kroenke for all of this and what, you know, how this club has been going forward at the moment. But there's no end to it because he's not going to sell. Okay. I think the day he sells, if he ever did, would be the happiest day of my life, my Arsenal life, because I just think he's one of the worst owners ever. I do. I think it's... I'm trying to be positive, but the negative side of me is worrying. I have to be honest about what, you know, what's going on. But it's tough, isn't it? Because we have got Tottenham playing Liverpool in the biggest game on the planet on Saturday night. And as much as we've covered it before...
Not interested.
I know.
No, wait, hold on 1 second. Let's talk about that ownership real quick, because... how the mighty have fallen. Man United and Arsenal, we were the dominant forces in the Premier League for so long. Our rivalry, there's nothing compared to it. There isn't, not yet. Teams are still building that history. And the email they sent was, I know we're all hurting right now after a painful and disappointing night. We all know that getting our great football club back to where it needs to be won't be easy, with plenty of highs and lows along the way. And today was one of those lows. Let's keep some perspective. It's a tough moment right now, but we have much to be positive about when reflecting on this transitional season and looking forward to the next. Transitional season, yes. But I feel like with Emery, right, he had us punching above our weight. He got us into places that I don't think many of us did. But once we got into those places, we capitulated. And for some of that, he is to blame. Is he to blame for everything going on at Arsenal? Absolutely not. I tell you one thing, if he doesn't improve our away form by November, then I will be on the fence about considering making a move. It's those small things, you guys, that we need to fix. But there's a systematic cultural problem at Arsenal, which he's not responsible for. And that is going to follow us for a very long time. So you do need a very strong coach who has a strong backbone to be able to cope with all of those things and be inventive. Because he's not going to be given the money to spend in the summer. He won't.
No, that's what
he's got
I think.
To sort that defence out.
Yeah, but Kev, with what?
Properly. No, he's got. Listen, let me tell you something.
If he doesn't get the funds, where's it coming from?
No, how do you mean? Look, there's.
Maybe coach.
Hold on. There's teams out there with a lot less players than us who are better than us defensively. It's not a matter about you having to buy big name players. Buy players who can do the job. Go and get players, even if it's lesser players. Look what George Graham done when he came. He got Nigel Winterburn, Lee Dixon and Steve Bould. They weren't the great players. Coming from Stoke, they were lesser players. But what did he do? He built.
Yeah.
And if that's what Unai Emery has to do, that's what he has to do. You need players who would take this defensive responsibilities on and be tough and be determined and have that mentality. That will do me. That will do me. I don't want no names. I want people who are going to do their job.
Unfortunately, on the field and off the field, it's been a shambles. But I think what's making it even worse, Kev, is Saturday night's looming. And it's like, I swear I will go to... I know you can't even discuss this, Kev.
Because... listen, I'm going to send you, and I want you to put it on. I'm going to send you girls the photo of me with the T-shirt on. None of the above. I'm not interested. I'm at a wedding and my phone's going to be off. The wedding's in Timbuktu. Thank you very much.
So me and Sophie obviously want Liverpool to win, and we're all Scousers now. We're all singing You'll Never Walk Alone for the next 48 hours. And the loads and loads of thousands of billions of Liverpool fans have now got billions of Gooners as fans. It's like, yes. And as my Northern mate said to me, you're the only ones that want Liverpool to win. Everyone else wants Tottenham. I don't care. I don't care if Liverpool score an offside goal, handball, in the 89th minute. I just have them to beat them. And interestingly, Kev, the ref who's on this show is currently driving to Madrid with quite a few Scousers in his car. They started singing your name and asking who you wanted to win. And I said I'd mention it on the pod. And I said, I think I know who Kevin wants to win, but he couldn't possibly say it. But
none of the above.
None of the above.
if only they could both lose.
Amanda,
right,
you're so wicked. You're wicked, girl. You're wicked.
Yeah, she's naughty. Very
I'm
naughty.
Naughty. But they all send their
love
to you.
I'm going to go see Rocket Man.
No. See, I know so many people that are not watching this match. I have to watch it. I could not be out with my phone off. I couldn't cope. I'd have to know what's going on. So me and my other half are going to be watching it in my flat on Saturday. And all we can say, well, on behalf of me and Sophie, is that, come on, you Reds. That's it. Come on, you Reds.
I'll even sing that song with you. I'll do a duet with you. I'll do anything it takes.
Alay, alay, alay. We've got to learn the words to that one. We Know You Never Walk Alone, or Firmino, or I'll learn all the songs. Just
Steve Gerrard,
Don't even go there. Don't even go there. But yeah, so listen, good luck, Liverpool. I'm not going to go there anymore, because every Arsenal fan on this planet, apart from Kev, wants Liverpool to win. So it is the end of season.
But that doesn't mean he wants Tottenham to win either.
No, he
doesn't. You've got to quantify that.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
And he can speak for himself with his None of the Above T-shirt. We need to see that on Twitter, don't we, and Facebook. None of the Above.
Listen, I'm sending it to you to put on, ladies, trust me, because I don't want nothing to do with it.
Kev, listen. So I want to say thanks. Me and Soph want to say thank you to you, Kev, for being with us for a whole season. And really, really interesting insight from an ex-player has been brilliant, isn't it, Soph?
I've loved every minute. Having Super Kev on has been enlightening. The player perspective angle is just a different level altogether. And he's been charming at times, eh, Super Kev? You've been charming at times. He's always charming. And I love the banter and all of it. So it's been amazing. But it's not goodbye.
No, it's au revoir for a little bit. And Kev, you're welcome back anytime. You need to come back on and be with us.
Of course I will. Of course I will. Whenever I can, I'll be on with you, ladies.
That'd be fabulous. Thank you so much. Right. So Arsenal fans, I know we're all devastated. I know we all feel the same. I can see all your tweets, all your Facebooks, all your Instagram. No one can cheer up. And even if the unthinkable happens, it's been nice knowing you all, but I'm going on She Wars Arc to God knows where with no Wi-Fi and no Tottenham fans anywhere. And I will be sailing away somewhere Saturday night and never to be seen again, because my life...
The spaceship's ready.
The spaceship, the Ark, I don't care.
Got it, babe. I've got us covered.
This is our end of season. We will be back during the summer. We're going to do some different things during the summer. But on behalf of Sophie and I and Kev, thank you so much for all your messages and all your communications with us and listening to us. And seriously, the feedback's been great. We don't do this for any other reason, but what we do is we do it because we love chatting about our beloved club, who we'll always love. So Have a wonderful summer. Try and stick with us. We will be back every week come August. And let's just try and have a bit of positivity. So, Soph, Kev, always Arsenal.